This is Tanya Lynn with the Sistership Circle podcast. From spirituality, sexuality, and sisterhood to business, relationships, contribution, and creativity, the Sistership Circle podcast introduces a new model of feminine leadership where women get real and vulnerable about it all. Tune in for authentic advice that will empower you to be bold, beautiful, and brilliant as your true self.
Hi, I'm Tanya Lynn, and I'm so excited to have this interview today with the amazing Hira Boga. So let me tell you a little bit about her, and then we're going to dive right in today. So Hira Boga is a writer, master teacher, and mentor to visionary leaders who are shaping a world in which service and prosperity, soul and entrepreneurship work hand in hand to create a world that serves all of life. Over the past 35 years, she has helped thousands of clients and students reclaim joy, freedom, creative power, and sovereignty in their businesses, their relationships, and their lives. As a mentor and teacher, Hira blends transformative energy technologies, the magic of story, and grounded spiritual practices with pragmatic business strategies. She offers a core curriculum of self-study programs in energy alchemy and soul-centered business. She works privately with evolutionary leaders to bring their most creative visions to life through a skillful blend of inner and outer work. And the results are both practical and profound. So welcome, Hira. I'm so excited to have you here and share all of your wisdom with us today. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Tanya. I'm so happy to be here with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes. I'd love for us to start with you sharing a little bit about yourself. I mean, a bio can only tell us so much. So just sharing a little bit about who you are and where you're coming from. And so we have some context as we dive into talking about soul business and women's circles and everything else we're going to talk about today.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Bombay in India, and I lived there until I was 21 and then moved to North America. And I've lived my entire adult life here. I live in Canada on the West Coast, on Vancouver Island. It's a beautiful place. It's pouring rain outside just now, but this is home. This has been home for the last, 45 years. So I'm really grateful. To live in a part of the world that is still the still wilderness. You know, I can drive 15 minutes from here and be in a forest. I can drive 5 minutes from here and be on the ocean. So I feel very blessed with that. I am mom to two young men who I am very, very proud of, and grandma to a 6.5-year-old little girl who I am so thrilled to spoil rotten. I have been an entrepreneur my entire adult life. I have been writing and teaching and creating a body of work at the intersection of subtle energy, energy alchemy, and practical applications of soul work in the world. And my mission, if I have one, is simply to remind people of who they really are, that we are all incarnate souls, and to offer specific tools and energy technologies to be able to access those qualities of soul, those powers of soul, and to use them in service to our creative vision, because I believe that we are the source of everything that we seek. It doesn't mean that we do anything alone, because we don't. We are in ourselves an ecology, and we live within nested ecologies. And so everything around us has an impact on who we are, and we have an impact on everything around us as well. So I feel like in this time when so many people are feeling so disempowered, you know, feeling so hopeless about the state of the world and feeling overwhelmed, like, what can I as one person do when, you know, the forces, the larger forces that govern the movements of populations around the world are bent on hegemony, bent on destruction, bent on taking everything that they want for themselves and leaving people who are not as privileged in the dust. I think that this is the time more than ever when we, each one of us, needs to stand up for our own values and our own power to be a source of those values and those qualities that you know, that we are devoted to, and to bring more of those into the world in whatever ways we do that. I mean, we each have our own path, but we also each have the power to make a huge difference in the world, whether that difference comes from raising a child or from cooking a meal for your family or from running a business that reaches millions of people worldwide. You know, it's not, soul is not concerned with the size of impact. Soul is always concerned with experiencing and expressing and serving true qualities of soul in the world. So yeah, that's what I have been doing for the last 40 odd years, and I hope to continue doing it until, you know, I leave this lifetime. So, yeah.
Which is amazing, because if you're going to be talking about soul, you are obviously doing your soul work. And, you know, that's very apparent to me right now in this conversation already, that you're really the embodiment of your work. And one of the things that when I was introduced to your work was this idea of that you and your business actually, like, have separate souls, that your business actually has a soul. And I'd love for us to start there and just have you share a little bit about what you mean by that, and even how someone can start to tap into the soul of their business.
Yeah. Well, everything that exists, everything that has a life has a soul. Everything that potentially has a life, so our creations, you know, again, a business is a creation, a work of art is a creation, a book is a creation, every creation has its own soul. That soul holds the pattern or the blueprint for the perfect unfolding of the life of your creation. So if we're talking about the soul of your business, the soul of your business holds the pattern for the perfect unfolding of the life of your business over its lifetime. It may, you know, I mean, I've been in business a long time, and my business has changed and evolved as I have changed and evolved, and as the world has changed and evolved over those 40 years. But the soul of my business remains what it always has been. It holds the essence as well as the pattern for the form and the shape that the business will take, and for that evolving form and shape. So it's not a prescriptive pattern. It is a pattern that is flexible. It's a pattern that you partner with as an entrepreneur. Your business cannot come to life without you. But your business has its own life. It has its own trajectory. It has its own reason for being. It's a lot like having kids. You know, your kids come from you. I mean, I carried my babies in my womb for 9 months each. You can't get any more intimate than that. And it was my, you know, my breath and my blood that gave them their breath and their blood and their bones. But right from the very beginning, their souls are their own, their lives have been their own, and it has been my privilege to partner with their souls to help them arrive on this earth and develop the foundation that they need to flourish in their lives, you know. So a business is much like that. It's a relationship between you and your soul and your business's soul. And the more that you can pay attention to that, to what it is that the soul of your business wants for itself, the less you're going to get hung up on having to figure everything out yourself. You're not doing this yourself. This is not, you know, being an entrepreneur can feel like an ant carrying an elephant. You know, it can feel like there's so many demands on you. There's so much that you are supposed to do, do this, do that. And it can get very lonely, especially as your business grows and becomes successful and becomes more complex and so on. So in the soul of your business, you have a partner who has a perspective that's different from yours. You know, the soul of your business cannot act in the physical world except through you. It can't make a phone call for you. It can't attend a meeting. It can't get on Zoom and have an interview with somebody. But the soul of your business can make those connections for you. It has access to pathways that you don't have access to. It has allies of its own that you might not know, you know. And until you grow yourself to the point where you have the capacity to meet those opportunities from a place of sovereignty and strength, those opportunities won't come your way. But as you develop that relationship with the soul of your business, you can ask. You can ask both for it to send you opportunities, you know, to put people in your path who can further the mission of your business and support the life of your business. And you can ask for it to bring people on, you know, into the world of your business whom your business can serve in turn. So it's always a reciprocal relationship. But the deeper that your relationship grows, the more intimate you get with the soul of your business, the more trust you have in your business's own unique life. You know, I was talking with a friend a few days ago about my kids. My sons are now 30 and 34. Oh my God, 30 and 34. And their lives are really different from mine. You know, I grew up in a very different way than they have. Their gifts are really different from mine. They each have their own way of being in the world, which is powerful and kind and generous and loving. But it's different from mine. If I expected them to be like me, I would be constantly torn apart by that difference. And it's the same with my business. You know, if I expect my business to be like any other business, or if I expect it to function the way I function or want what I want, I am not going to be able to serve its life. So I think that, you know, from my perspective, not just from my own experience, but also from working with thousands of students and clients over the last 40 years, the most powerful thing that you can do for your business as an entrepreneur is to develop a connection and a deep relationship with your own soul, and to develop a deep relationship with the soul of your business. Because that partnership is what will sustain you through the ups and the downs. It is what helps to quiet all the noise. There is so much noise in the entrepreneurial world, especially in the online entrepreneurial world. There's so many people telling you this is what you should do, and this is how you should do it, and this is how you should market, and you need this, and you need that. And the reality is that you have to have a way of discerning what among all those prescriptive noises is actually useful for you at any given time. You have to have faith in yourself, trust in your own judgment and in your own vision, and faith in the partnership with the soul of your business. And when you do that, you start to look at success very differently. You know, success, when I think about success for my kids, to me, their lives are successful because they are not pushed and pulled by external forces to the same degree that they might have been if they were not conscious of them. They are sovereign. They are incredibly kind young men. They are happy. Doesn't mean that they're all Pollyanna sunshine and they never make mistakes, but they are resilient, and they know, they trust themselves enough to know that whatever comes their way, they will be able to grow through it. And it's the exact same thing with my business. Like, I feel like, you know, if I pay attention to what it is, what stage my business is at, what it wants to be, what it wants to do at this stage of its life, and I serve that agenda, then it takes away all that stuff that so many entrepreneurs go through, where they feel like, you know, if they try something and it fails, it's a personal failure. And if you start to take those things personally, you will never do what your business needs you to do for its evolving life, right? Yeah. So it's a really, I think those are the two most important things. And if you like, what we can do is I can lead you through and your folks through just a brief meditation to get in touch with the soul of your business. Yeah?
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So start just by closing our eyes, simply because our energy tends to go where our attention is. So if your attention is out there, your energy will tend to go out there. So bring your awareness behind your eyes and up a bit into the center of your head. And take three deep breaths right down into your belly and out again. And with each breath, settle more deeply into your body. Our bodies are soul made flesh. So our bodies are not separate from our soul. They are made of the same stuff as our soul. So feel the radiance of your soul expressing itself in every cell of your body. Feel how every cell in your body expresses the universality of your soul, but does it in a very specific, particular way. Which replicates our own relationship to the world around us, that we are completely unique, each one of us. There is nobody else like you. There will never be anybody else like you. And yet, in your essence, you are one with all that is. So part of knowing how to effectively and skillfully act as soul in the physical world is knowing how to inhabit our uniqueness and how to tap into the universal matrix in which we are all one. It's living in both a boundary state and a boundless state simultaneously. So as you feel the flow of your life force within your body and all around you, about arm's width around you, so your energy field extends about arm's width all around your body, like an egg. feel yourself held inside this energy field. And feel your extended soul, that part of your soul that is not in incarnation yet, that extends out into the universe. And invite more of it to flow in through the back of your heart into your spine, so that more of your soul's presence is available to you. And then as you breathe in, feel the boundary of your energy field, which is like a second skin, arm's width around you, expanding a little. And as you breathe out, feel it contracting a little. So just feel that pumping action at the edge of your energetic boundary that allows you to know where your incarnate soul's presence ends and the rest of the world begins. And then invite the soul of your business. I call these beings, they're subtle energy beings, I call them devas. So invite the deva of your business to meet you out in front of you, just outside the boundary of your energy field. And just take a moment to sense its presence, knowing that what you sense of your business deva's presence will change over time. As you get to know it better, you will know more about it. As you grow, you will be able to access more of who it is. But for now, you know, just feel into what you know about the deva of your business. Just like you know how when you can meet somebody for the very first time and you sense so much about them without ever knowing anything concrete about them yet. Feel into the qualities of your business's soul. If your business is relatively new, much of its soul might not be in incarnate form as yet. And it may be primarily essence that you are experiencing. If your business has been going for a number of years, has a well-developed physical presence in the world, that ratio may change. Just feel your business deva's presence. And then because devas exist in a field of love, the simplest way to get in touch with any deva is by inhabiting that flow of love yourself. And because we are incarnate souls and love is a quality of soul, it's already within us. So think about somebody or someone that you love unconditionally so much that you just want them to be themselves. You want for them what they want for themselves. And feel the flow of love in your own heart. Feel it flowing and spreading throughout your body. And then extend your love to the soul of your business. And feel your love being received and feel the love that flows back from the soul of your business to you. The deva of your business is as invested in the success of your incarnation as you are invested in the success of its incarnation. When things are difficult in your life, if you've got something going on, you're ill, or you've got a family emergency, and you aren't able to show up for your business in the ways that you are accustomed to showing up for it, you have in the deva of your business a partner who can carry your business for periods of time so that you can do what you need to do to take care of yourself without it impacting your business in the same way as it would if you and your business were merged together. And then open your eyes when you're ready.
I just had, I'm just going to start crying. I just had one of the most profound experiences. Thank you so much. I really want to share what just happened. I just have to kind of catch my breath. I'm like really, really moved and wow. So my business started in January 2009. So I'm coming up on 10 years and wow. I just can't even have words right now. When you asked me to bring the deva in front of me, I felt the most compassionate, loving presence that I've ever experienced in my life. And the word that came to me was mother. And like I really get who the soul of my business is, as a who my business is for the world, as this loving, compassionate, safe space for women, and this mother energy of just holding that unconditional love for women through the power of circle and holding that for me. And I'm just so moved right now. Like it was like this immediate, just like, whoa. I was just completely overcome by emotion when the presence came in front of me. And it's like, I feel like I am very connected with the soul of my business, but I've never had that experience of like meeting the soul of my business like that. So thank you. Wow. And then that piece around, trusting the when you need that time for yourself. And that's where I am is, I just had a baby, almost 6 months ago. And last month I took off to take care of myself. And there's that fear of like trusting that everything will be okay if I take a step back or if I, take some space. And I just got like such a resounding, like, I've got you, Tanya. Like, it's all good. Like really, really all good. And just such like, just that compassion that I felt was so palpable. Wow.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. Thank goodness.
I am so moved by connection with the deva of your business. Because truly, when we reduce our businesses to a thing, we cut ourselves off from the source of so much intimacy, so much support, so much creative collaboration, so much love. And we're doing, it's as though we have a palace available to us and we choose to hang out in the outhouse,
Yeah. So I a couple of the women who call my Queen's Council, the women who really hold me, have been constantly saying to me, you know, just Tanya, you just have to allow the Great Mother to hold you. And what I'm present to right now is actually see my business as part of that, or as like a, like the mother who can hold me. And that has been my journey and my path of leading circles and training women to lead circles, is me allowing myself to receive from circle. And that's one of the biggest teachings, is like really me receiving and me being held, and that I don't just always have to be the one, like the strong one holding, but that I can actually be part of the healing in the circle, and I can show up and get my needs met in the circle, and finding that balance. And what I, you know, that concept that you said of like the boundary and the boundless, of I can be both participant and facilitator in the circles that I lead. And that has been my journey. And so I'm just getting that on a deeper, more profound level in this moment. And especially now in this point of my life where I'm mothering, and you know, where am I getting refilled and recharged, and who's holding me as I'm holding my babies, right? And to like, actually it's yes, the Great Mother, but also my business as a mother for me.
Yeah.
And just feeling like this, oh, like such like relief, and just relaxing into that right now. And this trusting, and, you know, and I've been, very much through the rest period that I took last month of listening and dreaming and connecting with our manifesto, and, you know, and the why of our business, and this just feels like, of course, this is what's coming up right now after that work. And of course, I'm having this conversation with you. Of course.
Well, one of the things you have to remember is that, you know, your baby is 6 months old, which means that your energy body and your power and your first chakra are all being drawn on heavily to help create the energy body of your baby. So the power that you normally have available to you to hold the folks in your circle, to hold your business, is going in this other direction. And if you aren't mindful of that, and you don't have a way of filling yourself so that you are able to give in this way, that's often when businesses fall apart. And they don't fall apart because you're not available. They fall apart because you're trying to do too much without replenishing and without recognizing the depth of replenishment that's needed. You need 50 times more than you think you need, you know? And because we live in a culture where there aren't extended family members around to take care of, you know, to share in childcare, to share in raising that baby, and to take care of you as you are raising that baby, then we have to find more creative ways of filling that gap. And your business, Deva, is one ally, you know? Because you can say to it, I need this time. I want you to take over for a while. You know, I did that. I mean, I'm now, you know, I'm 68. And I really feel in the last few years, especially, kind of a gathering in of my energies. You know, for many, many years, I have, it's been give, 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 give. Part of that was being a mom and raising kids. Part of it was being an entrepreneur and you know, running a complex business with lots of staff and people and flowing through it. And then in these last 10 years, as I've kind of really brought things in and scaled them down a whole lot, my relationship with my business, Deva, has changed. And every time that I have tuned into it in the last few years, it has been, you've done your part, now let me do my part. Let me take care of you. And things get simpler and simpler. You know, that there's less and less striving for me to do. And I had to, it really took some time to get accustomed to, oh yeah, I can actually just be. You know, I don't have to do anything more, which doesn't mean that I sit there and go la 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 la, and, you know, but that the structure of the business, the life of the business, has grown mature enough and robust enough that it can continue on without me. Just like, you know, right now your baby needs every bit of you, but in 20 years, it's going to be different. Yeah.
And that's what, you know, taking a, I call it my time out last month and into the cave of creation of finding the next evolution and the next way. This is my second child. So I made the adjustment, and last year was amazing. I mean, we had just the structure and everything dialed in, and then second baby comes and it's like, whoa, need to put in some new practices, and discovered Yoga Nidra, which has revolutionized my life. I mean, that was just such a key part of like, no, I don't need to stop. I need to just integrate more rest and more. It's like, yeah, okay, I have my self-care, and now it's like, it's a whole new level of self-care that I'm having to practice and to learn. And
yeah,
and then now this
whole new level of demand on your energy.
Yeah. And just being really discerning and really clear on, yeah, well, okay, what does it look like this year in terms of running the business? And I can't do business as usual. It's not going to look like last year because I, you know, and so now it's like, now this piece today of, you know, connecting with the soul and having that conversation or just that interaction of calling forth the deva of the business and just being with that. And oh, wow. So, okay. So I know that there were a couple other things we wanted to talk about. One thing was, you know, and you kind of mentioned that was you've been in business for 35 years. We talked about this before we started. The call was the longevity of your business. And I've been through several evolutions in 10 years. I mean, we've gone through three different business names. You know, the structure has changed drastically since I started. So I'd love for you to share a little bit about the longevity, because I think, you know, that word sustainability is the word that I think of. And how women burn out so quickly and how many businesses fail, you know, within the first year, and, you know, and entrepreneurship's not for everyone, but if you can share a little bit about about longevity of a business.
Yeah. Longevity for me, the key to longevity is daily practice, a daily practice of embodying my own soul, of being in partnership with my own soul, and of being in partnership with the soul of my business. So that it's longevity comes through relationship. And you know, that can sound really kind of abstract, but what that means in real life terms, if you think about the people that you are in closest relationship with, the things that keep those relationships alive and thriving and vibrant over time is, first of all, love, discernment, communication, willingness, devotion. I mean, those form the heart of any relationship. So when you have those in place in relationship to your business, and you understand that your business is an essential part of your own evolution. It's not just you taking care of your business so it will feed you and feed your family and feed and nourish the women who are in your circles. It is that your business is as essential a part of your incarnation as your body or your breath. And when you think of it in those terms, then you're not going to bail when things get hard, which they do, you know? I mean, I think back to, I learned so much just by doing things and making mistakes and learning from them, you know? So there was a time in my 30s when I was having my babies and I had founded a research and educational center. So I had, you know, like 15 staff and thousands of students coming through, and I worked all the time. I created things because there was a momentum, there was a field that was very rich in which things could be created that were really valuable. And there was a lot that I learned, but I also realized 20 years later that I had drawn on my life force in ways that I had not replenished. And I had to make up for that. There was a period of time where I was very ill. You know, I was diagnosed with chronic Lyme disease and I was very, very ill. But all through that, there was never in my mind a thought of, well, I'm too sick to get out of bed. I'd better just close my business down. You know, it would make no more sense to me than saying, well, I'm too sick to get out of bed, so I'm just going to never speak to my kids again. Right? So longevity has to do with love and devotion first. And then it has to do with partnership. And partnership always involves both love and devotion and boundaries. You know, it involves sovereignty, that you are in a sovereign partnership with the soul of your business, which means that if the soul of my business, that part of its vision for its life is, you know, that I'll travel the world, teaching in different countries and so on, I'm going to say no, because at this stage of my life, I don't want to do that. You know, it's not good for my health. It's not good for the health of the planet to be, you know, have such a big carbon footprint. And I honor that, and the name of my business honors that. So it's paying attention. It's like being in any relationship. It's paying attention to your own needs, your own desires, your own path, and loving, honoring, and supporting as best you can the life and the soul and the path that your business has for itself. That's the down and dirty of it, you know?
I really, really resonate with that. And I learned this through the yoga nidra, is like holding of two things simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And that's what I just keep hearing. And what you're saying is love and devotion and boundaries, you know, and this concept of sovereignty. And I love for us to speak a little bit about sovereignty, in relation to, you know, what we're doing is training women to run women's circles, right? So, and one of the things that you talk about is energy alchemy and managing energy and how we can be in that circle and that collaborative space while simultaneously holding our sovereignty. And so can you share a little bit about this? This is such an important piece.
Absolutely essential. I cannot tell you how many times I have seen organizations who have, you know, with the best of intentions, implode because they don't understand or build into the structure of the organization that piece about sovereignty. So in a circle, and we're talking about women's circles, and you talked a little bit earlier about how you can both facilitate and participate in a circle. And it's true to some extent, and to some extent it's not. There is, when I am teaching a class, I am not there to be their friend. I am not there to be their pal. I am there to serve their soul. And to hold a particular frequency and a container that is highly charged, that is powerfully charged energetically, because it's through that charged space that things can happen. People's evolution is accelerated. Their creations happen with much greater ease, but they only happen because I'm holding that container. I still have my own needs, and those needs have to be met. And part of that meeting of those needs is staying present to my own needs. Like when I first started, you know, doing this work, which was even before I started my business, I was teaching back 40 years now, we're talking about. I didn't understand it quite as well. I understood it intuitively, but I didn't understand the energetic nuances of it. And I learned through trial and error, you know. So in a circle, literally, if you have a circle like this and you've got women sitting in a circle and you are part of that circle, what tends to happen is that everybody in that circle matches energy. So they'll match frequencies. And that's not what you want. That doesn't allow for sovereignty. It doesn't allow, it creates a feeling of bonding. You know, it creates this feeling of, ooh, this feels so good. You know, it's like a big hug sitting in this circle. But the price that you pay is that you are not at your own frequency. And if you're not at your own frequency, you are not free and you are not sovereign. So one of the great gifts of women's circles is that they allow us a space in which to practice how to be sovereign and be in community, how to be sovereign and be in relationship, how to embrace differences within the safety of a space where no one person can hijack the center of that circle. Just make, you know. So a lot of that has to do with how you as the facilitator position yourself. You cannot be part of the circle in that sense. It's your job to create a container in which everybody can be at their own frequency. And I find that to do that, I don't sit in circles. If I am in a circle, I will create a division around me. You know, there'll be a table on one side holding my writing materials or whatever else I need. There'll be a gap between me and the next person in the circle. I'm not saying that this is how everybody has to do it, but this is what it takes for me to maintain the kind of independence that then allows me to see what's happening for each person in that circle, and then also allows me to partner with the deva of that circle, the devas and the souls of each person in there, so that each person can be themselves, be connected, be supported, but not have to be the same as everybody else.
Yeah. So one of the things through the process of my evolution of giving and receiving in the circle is exactly that piece of, and this has been a challenge for me that really, really broke through in the last year, was around that piece of not being friends with everyone in the circle. Mm-hmm. And that, I do have my role. And what is that balance of maintaining the facilitator seat and maintaining the sovereignty and exactly what you're saying, and still being filled up versus depleted from the circle. Cause that was always my, what I was looking for is, and I think part of it is simply like identifying my needs,
mm-hmm.
which before I didn't have any clue what my needs were,
mm-hmm.
But making sure that I'm nourished and filled up versus depleted when I'm doing facilitation. And that key, I mean, you just nailed it. And in my role, I am not pals with everyone, and I need to make, and I love that actually. I love that partnering with the deva of the circle and with each person's deva and even creating a little gap. And I'm just kind of thinking of myself and ways that I've been able to manage or hold both of those things. And so I love that you shared that actually about mm-hmm. creating that space with, or creating the division.
Yeah, there's another piece to that too, which is, you know, when you have a circle like that, which is really not a full circle, because if I'm doing it, then I'm sitting a little bit separate from everybody else, still within that circle, but separate. Whoever is at the tail end of that open circle, it's like a Zen circle, right? Because it's open at one end. But whoever is seated in the tail end of that has a tremendous responsibility for the energy of the circle. So you want to place in those seats the people who are the most experienced in managing their energy, the people who are the most grounded and the most present and the most sovereign, because that will help. It'll help hold the energy of the circle, right? So like these are, it kind of goes against the grain of a lot of circle theory, which says, you know, this is a very democratic thing. It's everybody's, you know, equal. Yes and no. Everybody is
individual. Yes and no.
Everybody is individual. Everybody is equal on that essence and unity end of the spectrum of their being. And everybody is in a different place. And it doesn't have to do with hierarchies. You know, like today I might be the most grounded person in that room. Tomorrow, if I've got the flu or something, I might be the least grounded person in that room. So it's really paying attention to what's happening in the moment and recognizing what the energetic effects are of every single thing that you do in a circle. And then working with that knowledge so that you can create a space in which it's safe for people and it's safe for you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, just one of the major themes is just that yes and no. It's the mm-hmm. both and the holding two opposite forces. I think that is just such a key distinction that the boundless, the boundaries, love and devotion and boundaries. I mean, it's so true.
Well, we live on a planet of opposites, right?
Yes.
That is the nature of physical reality.
Yeah.
Is that it's polarized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the nature of our physical reality also that, you know, we are an ecology. Each one of us is an ecology. And in aspects of our internal ecology, We are one with all that is, and an aspect to our internal ecology. We are completely unique. And if we don't embrace all of that, then the same thing happens with our internal ecology as is happening with global warming right now, you know, where we pretend that what we're doing has no effect, but what we're doing can make or destroy. So, yeah.
Yep. Oneness and duality. Absolutely.
Yeah. And embracing both, you know, embracing both, knowing that both are aspects of who we are, and that there is power in both. There is power in our incarnation, and there's power in our disincarnate soul. So we don't have to reach out there. We have to bring these together and know how to navigate the different terrain, the different, you know, the different territories within our inner world.
Powerful, powerful conversation. Thank you so much. This has just been, wow, one of my favorite interviews ever.
Thank you. It was lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So I think we had on here that you, well, you have your book, you have a 7-day e-course. We're just going to put in the show notes a link to your book, a link to your website, that's heroboga.com. Anything else that you want to share in terms of people getting in touch and any resources that you have?
Sure. Yeah, there. Go onto my website. You'll find a lot of free resources there, including the Deva Cards page. So there are a set of online Deva Cards people use them daily. I use them daily, and I have for years. But you can play with them. You can develop deeper relationships with the Devas of soul qualities. Buy the book. That's what it looks like, and it's available on Amazon and through your local bookstore. And we have a book club happening right now until the end of February. So if you purchase the book, you can join us for book club and kind of go deeper into some of these explorations. Really, they are ways of playing with soul and of doing soul in the world, of the activity of soul in the world. So there's that. I have a couple of free 7-day e-courses that you can participate in that will lead you through connection with the Deva of your business, connection with your own soul. So come and play and make use of what is there.
Yeah, I'm going to join the book club for sure. Book is so unique, so unlike anything I've ever experienced. So I highly recommend checking that out, everyone, and going to the website and playing with Hero. It's amazing. Yeah. All right. So before we wrap up, any last words of wisdom?
Don't take yourself too seriously. I don't. I really treasure this part of me that kind of slaps me around a little bit and says, hey, what do you think you're doing? So don't take yourself too seriously. And, you know, trust yourself. I think the single most interesting question you can ask yourself is, if I trusted myself, what would I do right now?
So good. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for listening today.
Thank you. Bye, Tanya.